It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson, and we're going to have a conversation this morning about some important issues that is facing our communities, our state, and our world out there. And so welcome to the show. We'll be going through some headlines in the first and second segment, third and fourth segment. Tim Hoyles, who is a businessman down in Colorado Springs, had a very important piece in Complete Colorado about the unchecked growth of special taxing districts, and it needs scrutiny. And so be sure and go to Complete Colorado, and they will have headlines from all over the state. They aggregate news from all over the state so that you'll know what's going on. But then if you click on the banner at the top, it'll take you to all of their original content. And this is a very important piece that Tim has written, and so we'll chat with him about that in segments three and four. We'll talk with Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management at the bottom of the hour. And welcome to the show. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. I think many of us had Thanksgiving dinner, and many of us were talking to college students that have come home for the Thanksgiving celebration. And I realized that there is this romance going on college campuses with socialism. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. And if something is a really good idea, it doesn't seem like you have to force it. So thank you to the team, producer Steve, Zach, Keith, Patty, and Charlie, for your support, your good work. And thank you to your listeners, you know, my listeners. And I wish you a very good day today. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence. And every day, take care of your heart, soul, mind, and body. So, producer Steve, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Oh, my. It's funny, you know, in your prayer around the table, you want to say, take the time to, the whole point is to thank God for his blessings. And at that very moment, he's blessing you in the great fellowship and certainly the great food.
We take so much of that for granted. Once again, as I was looking at the Thanksgiving meal, I didn't have to raise the turkey. I didn't have to butcher the turkey. I didn't have to pluck the feathers off the turkey. I didn't have to raise the potatoes. I didn't have to raise the wheat. I didn't have to churn the butter. It is an amazing thing what capitalism does, is that I'm able to actually, you're laughing and churning the butter. Huh?
No, I'm thinking of the learning experience, even, I dare not mention age, but the learning never stops. And I did learn something. I basically got turkey breasts only and smoked them, and the result was so phenomenal, I will never deal with a whole turkey again. Never.
Uh-huh. Everybody liked it. It was a hit, huh?
Oh, my. Yes, I was a hero.
Oh, I love that when that happens for the Thanksgiving meal. But it is because of capitalism that we don't have to do all of those things, that we go out and work and do our jobs, and we trade our hard-earned dollars for these other goods and services that people offer. And it's a free exchange. Capitalism is something that has brought more people out of poverty than anything else and any other social construct out there. And so this continual kind of knocking down America and capitalism and romancing socialism, we've got to continue to have conversations about this because it is really rampant out there, this socialism narrative. And that's one of the reasons that we do this show. We continue to see, particularly here in Denver, and in Colorado, the socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, data. You're seeing just force all over this. When you hear a regulate or if you hear the word mandate, those are two code words for force, for socialism, for force. And so remember that as we're talking with our friends and family. One of the things that we like to talk about is, first of all, some kind of inspiration and wisdom. And this next On December 7th, 1941 was when Pearl Harbor was bombed, and it brought the United States into World War II. Chester Nimitz, who was the admiral for the Central Pacific Fleet, and he said something, and, you know, I really think about this with our team. Leadership consists of picking good men and helping them do their best. And, you know, many people can be in leadership roles, but that does not mean that they are a leader. Leadership does mean it consists of picking good men and women and helping them to do their best. And Chester Nimitz was born in 1885 in Fredericksburg, Texas, died in 1966 near San Francisco. And he was the commander of the U.S. Pacific Fleet during World War II. He was one of the Navy's foremost administrators and strategists, and he commanded all land and sea forces in the Central Pacific area during World War II. And so we'll continue to talk about World War II. There's a couple of things that will be happening in December, obviously Pearl Harbor, December 7th, and then Battle of the Bulge started the middle part of December. So we'll continue to bring these things forward because you know what? It seems that we don't talk about these things, Steve, and it's important that we talk about our history.
Yeah, you won't get any argument on this side of the fence. You back up to what you just said. Was it what part of that quote from Nimitz was, or was that your thinking?
Leadership consists of picking good men and helping them to do their best.
What you said after that, though, in terms of just because someone's in a leadership position doesn't mean they're a great leader.
It's true.
And I'm thinking in my life, I've seen it in the military. I've seen it in corporate America. And where else? There was another place I've seen it, too. And that's true. It's incredibly true. People will jump, insert themselves into a leadership role, and their egos won't allow them to see that, well, am I really a good leader? Am I doing what I really need to be doing here?
Well, and one of the things I think with leadership is Patton. Many people felt that Patton, I mean, he was tough. You know, and he ran the Third Army. I think it was the Third Army, wasn't it? I mean, he was moving them so quickly in Europe that it was difficult for the supply lines to keep up with them. But Patton never asked his men to do something that he wouldn't himself do. And that also, I think, is one of the traits of a good leader. But again, Chester Nimitz, leadership consists of picking good men and helping them to do their best. So we have some funnies. Since we're going to be talking with Tim Hoyles at the bottom of the hour regarding taxes and taxes are force, and granted we agree there's some taxes that are necessary, but we've gotten things kind of out of hand, and socialism and taxes can go hand in hand. So I've got three funnies for you. Are you ready, Steve?
Bring it on.
Okay. Socialism looks like a pretty good idea on paper unless that paper's in a history book.
Okay.
Number two, if I had a dollar for every time socialism was successful, I'd have $0. Which is funny because if it did work, I'd also have $0. And number three, what's the difference between communism and a pencil? The pencil works on things other than paper. Ha ha.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Okay, there's a lesson for you. Make sure you know where your mouse is sitting before you hit the go button.
Well, I guess it is Christmas season, so thank you, Santa. I'm glad that you liked my joke. Okay.
Now we got it.
Let's jump in here. Did you see this? This is from thedenverite.com. Denver's approves a minimum wage that will rise to nearly $16 an hour in 2022. This is a forced minimum wage. And Denver's government will guarantee workers a base. Denver government will guarantee it, huh? Will guarantee workers a base hourly rate of $15.87 when the clock strikes 2022. The minimum wage will rise each year before then and after as well. The city council voted 11-0 to raise the wage Monday night. That was last Monday night. Just 2 months after Mayor Michael Hancock and City Councilwoman Robin Nitsch publicly pitched the idea. City Council members Chris Herndon and Stacey Gilmore were absent. Business owners will absorb the hike over 3 years. Workers who currently make the minimum wage of $11.10 will make $12.85 starting January 1st, 2020, and $14.77 in 2021. After the minimum wage reaches $15.87 in 2022, it will be pegged to the Consumer Price Index. And in other words, as life costs change, transportation, food, healthcare, the minimum wage will change with them. But transportation, food, and healthcare are getting more expensive because government is involved in it and making it more expensive. And so this is just, I mean, it's a train, no pun intended, that is just going to run off the track if we continue with this, Steve.
I hate to run on ruin the mayor's parade, rain on his parade, but I saw a video of him signing, you know, the documents, and mm-hmm. he had this snarky look on his face. I think, do you really understand the impact to the economy, to business owners, small business owners, or is this just another vote buying, hey, look how great we are moment?
Well, the problem with it is this hurts the people that they say that they are actually trying to help. We were traveling for this weekend, and it was interesting as we checked into the hotel. They said, "Oh, you'll get extra points. You're one of our rewards members. You'll get extra. You can have extra points if you don't have housekeeping." And we're like, "Okay, that's fine." But I was thinking about it. Here's your people that need a job. They're housekeepers in a hotel, and because of these forced minimum wages, what will happen is businesses will adjust. You'll have, we see it already in the restaurant industry, where you're seeing more kiosks. So instead of these people being paid more, there may be a few people that will be paid more, but other people are going to lose their job. And Steve, I was thinking about it on the way over. I'm thinking, this is an unintended consequence. Maybe not. Maybe it is an intended consequence to make people more and more dependent on these government programs. And when you're dependent on the government, I mean, you lose your freedom. So maybe it is an intended consequence. What do you think?
Well, I that's an excellent point. My thinking takes me to how many thousands of people will benefit from this? And they're there. They will see immediate, across the next couple of years, increased paycheck. But balance that out. Everything needs balance. So what's on the other side of the scale is the thousands of people who are impacted in terms of businesses that will start to cut back, like you just suggested. You know, and
prices will go up.
The rest of this article here zeroes in on the Restaurant Association and their reaction to it. But you know what's going to happen. They're going to start laying off workers. And again, they're just one small piece of the pie. But everyone's going to be impacted trying to adjust to that to make it happen. And the adjustment won't be positive.
Well, and making labor more and more expensive makes it more difficult, as you mentioned, for your small businesses. And then as Patty and I had, Patty had done so much research as we were coming into the election season on the amount of corporate welfare that goes to big corporations. So here you have government picking winners over here, giving big corporations tax breaks and incentives. You've got your little businesses over here that don't get any of that. And then you've got the Denver city government coming in and making labor more and more expensive. One other thing I wanted to mention is we had talked about Los Angeles and that, or California, that I think about at least 10% of their workers are undocumented, which means probably that they're being paid under the table. And so what you see is you see government making labor more and more expensive, and then you have businesses that then are hiring undocumented workers and paying them under the table. You think about it, 10% of the workforce being paid under the table, not paying taxes, and then over here you've got government making labor more expensive. It's really squeezing the small business guy, the middle class. And these policies are really ultimately going to hurt Denver. You're going to see businesses start to move out of there. You're going to see this start to affect Denver, the city that we love. And there will be consequences to these actions.
Once again, I keep making references to this, and yet I can't quote you. What is the role of government at any particular level? And I'm going to make a banner and hang it on the wall here so I can refer to it. What does this really have to do with government in terms of forcing, artificially raising these wages and whatnot? But stay tuned here. I mean, the rest of the article states that the Colorado Restaurant Association is threatening to sue Denver. Let's see where this goes.
It's going to be very interesting. So, hey, let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue on with headlines. Before we do that, though, a couple of things on the national level. President Trump ended up going to Afghanistan over the weekend or for Thanksgiving, which I think is just a fabulous move that he said so many people are away from their families. And so he made the trip over to Afghanistan to wish our troops well. And also, he signed this piece of legislation supporting Hong Kong and their freedom. And also over the weekend, the young people in Hong Kong were out there. You could hear the national anthem, the U.S. national anthem being played. They had pictures of Trump, and they were just very, very excited about that. So President Trump, I think, did a couple of really important things over this last weekend, Steve.
As a member, former member of the military and being overseas for two of those years, I can't imagine how thrilled I would have been to have the president come onto the base and, you know, sit in the same room, have dinner with him, or go through the serving line and have him right on the other side. What a thrill.
It was quite a move. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue with headlines. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we are having a conversation about important issues out there. It is Christmas season. I cannot believe it. My internal clock is about at the 4th of July, so I cannot believe that it is Christmas season. But with that, I'm excited about that. But in 2020, you know, we have to be ready to roll. So there are three things that we have coming up that I wanted to make sure that you're aware of. First of all, regarding the holiday season, Hooters Colorado and Little Ricky's New York Pizzeria stores will once again be raising money for the Realities for Children Charities Bikes for Tykes program. Realities for Children Charities Bikes for Tykes provides helmets and bicycles to local children who have been abused, neglected, or at risk for abuse and neglect. This is a great cause that benefits children locally from Colorado Springs to Northern Colorado. Most importantly, I love this. 100% of all donated funds will go to the kids. Not one dime is used for any administrative purposes. So they're doing a variety of events at the different Hooters stores, but they're going to have a Santa's Little Helper pageant December 13th at the Hooters restaurant in Loveland. And it looks like it's going to be a really fun event. And if you would like more information, if you'd like to donate cash, or need more information on that, email me at kim@kimmunson.com and we'll get you connected with them on that. Secondly, January 8th is going to be the first day of the legislative session, and we are going to do a Stand for Colorado 2020 rally. It'll be on the west steps of the Capitol. It's 11 o'clock in the morning. I know it's middle of the week, and I know it's middle of the day, and I know it's in January, but it will be really important for us to show up and show that we are watching what is going on. So continue to stay tuned for more information on that. And then January 13th, Helen Raleigh, you know, she's been on the show many times, and she and Dr. Paul Prentice are doing a really interesting event. It's called The Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism. And we'll be doing that Monday night, January 13th, 5 to 8 p.m. at Water's Edge Winery. And so, again, email me if you'd like to get on the reservation list, and we'll have more information on that very, very soon. Another headline here that Patty found from Senator Kevin Lundberg. He said that this week he became aware of a proposed bill for the 2020 session that will dramatically change and for many increase property taxes for school districts in Colorado. It's a major change for the school finance system in Colorado. The bill will attempt to address a problem that we currently have in the school finance system for the state, which is an extremely wide range of mill levies applied for school property taxes in the 179 Colorado school districts. He says, however, their solution is not revenue neutral, which he said he might be inclined to support if the bill was also functional. It is intentionally written to increase property taxes for many school districts with the stated goal of raising over $400 million in new property taxes. And the bill does not address the Gallagher Amendment issue that already requires commercial property taxes to be over four times higher than residential taxes, thus driving a great deal of these new taxes onto already way overtaxed businesses. And many of us say that residential taxes are also way too high as well. Okay, so Steve, we just talked about in Denver that there you've got your small businesses that are going to have to pay higher labor costs with this forced minimum wage, and then you've got your small businesses that they want to raise taxes on them. I mean, it's going to be difficult to be a small business person in Denver and in Colorado if this continues.
I sit back and I think, and knowing that Douglas, well, okay, cat's out of the bag. I shouldn't have named him. Douglas County is poised to increase property taxes anyway. I don't know, you know, that it's a direct tie-in to the school thing that you just mentioned. They're just ready to do it based on some cycle in terms of housing market and the way they ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. And basically we're saying, well, we're going to do it because we can, which just drives me crazy. But beyond that, I think state and local government, and maybe federal too, I mean, they're pushing for a tax revolt. Because their solution to everything is to go and dig into the middle class and take a bigger portion for themselves.
Well, and I think across the board, people would like to see more money get into the classroom. We'd like to see our teachers, our good teachers, being paid more. But what we're seeing is that there is the expansion of administration in our school districts, and so that money is not getting into our classrooms. And then, you know, the other thing is curriculum. We talk about more and more money for education, but we have kids that are not proficient in reading, writing, and arithmetic. But man, they're becoming very proficient in all this gender stuff and gender fluidity and sex education. Those are things that I think that we shouldn't even talk about those things until we are sure that our kids can read and write and do arithmetic. Let's make sure that we set our kids up for success. So anyway, Kevin Lundberg, thank you for being on top of that. Next thing, this is very interesting. This is from theherald.com. Loveland Economic Development Director Kelly Jones will present an update on her department to the Loveland City Council on Tuesday, including new statistics about incentive packages awarded by the city. The statistics are part of the department's 2019 prospect report, which Jones says is the first report of its kind to be produced by her department. Now, Loveland's been giving a whole bunch of incentives to different businesses. I think I do my hats off to them for finally trying to get a handle on that so that people can see what's going on.
I wonder where Loveland got this idea.
I wonder. Where do you think?
Okay. Carry on.
Okay.
But you're right. When I read this thing, once I saw what she was proposing in terms of shining a light on it, I thought, okay, this is cool. This is some accountability.
And I think actually every state or every county should do this. I think that people should be able to see what which businesses are getting incentives and subsidies and which are not. And so stay tuned on that. I'll be interested to see what they have to say on that. This is from the Colorado Independent. It looks like there's going to be gun control talks underway at the state capitol in 2020. We kind of figured that. And there was one other thing that I wanted to mention before we got to, there's a couple of things. The Washington Examiner is reporting that Bloomberg News employees have been instructed not to investigate the 2020 Democrat primary candidates, according to an internal memo obtained this week by CNN. Worse, Bloomberg News is also suspending its editorial board so that certain members can join owner Michael Bloomberg's 2020 Democrat campaign, which launched shortly before the newsroom changes were announced. It's astonishing. A news organization that publishes roughly 5,000 stories per day, employs 2,700 staffers, and has a footprint in 120 countries is going to forego original investigative reporting on the 2020 Democrat candidates. One of the two ruling parties in the United States is choosing its presidential nominee, and Bloomberg News would rather avoid angering its owner than volunteer even a small portion of its vast resources toward investigating any of the would-be nominees. It's golden era of truth-telling, I tell you. Is that not astonishing?
I got to tell you, when I saw the Bloomberg bomb drop last week, I was speechless. I said, I can't believe. And it just, it, to me, it signals, and this is a whole segment unto itself, the disarray of the Democratic Party, or the DNC. What are they doing?
Well, when freedom of the press was put in place so that the press could keep an eye on politicians and bureaucrats and all these interested parties. And the idea that they won't even report on anything going on, but on the Democrat side, but man, they're going after Trump like you wouldn't believe. And when Trump looks in the camera and he says, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you, I believe it. So, hey, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, just very wonderful. How about yours?
Really, really nice. A very, very blessed event. And so had a great time. I ate too much, and so I'm going to need to probably start to exercise a little bit, Jason.
Oh, yeah, you're a real porker, Kim.
Now watch it.
You can afford to overeat a little bit, unlike me and Steve, who have already tipped over the edge.
I'm not even going to touch that, Jason. So, hey, you know, last week, though, you did something really, really fun. And that was, you know, we did the show on the turkey stocks, and then you actually... I mean, I cannot believe the amount of research that you put into a piece. And I think people could learn a lot about that. So tell us a little bit more about the turkey stocks of 2019.
Well, we try to come up with some stocks that have been turkeys so far, at least, for 2019. So these are usually stocks that have fallen in price or that were very, very hyped up and didn't do as well as expected. I guess the hope is, Kim, is that maybe some of these turkeys might still have a little bit of eagle left in them at some point. Maybe the sell-off is overdone. And, you know, we try to put together a piece so people can download it, do some research on their own, or they can call us and ask what we think. And, maybe there's a winner in that pile and maybe there's not. Last year's turkey stock, some of them did well, mm-hmm. some of them didn't do so well. But I think it's just kind of fun to research them, if nothing else.
Well, I think so, too. And so you can go to my website, KimMunson.com, and you can find it there. Or you can go to AirPresidential.com. That's A-I-R, AirPresidential.com. And that information is there. So I'm trying to remember, you looked at what you had talked about last year, and then also the turkey stocks for this year, right?
Right. We didn't put last year's in this report, Kim. That was just kind of something we went over together.
Okay.
But, you know, we'll make it a point to go over this year's next year before we do next year's turkey stocks.
Okay. Well, most definitely. I find it really, really interesting. So be sure and go to airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com. And, you know, it is December 2nd. And I would highly recommend that people sit down with you and do a discovery session, because there's some things that they can do between now and the end of the year that could affect their tax liabilities. And I think we all agree that there's some taxes that need to be paid. But on the other hand, we'd like to minimize that if at all possible. And I know, Jason, you can help people take a look at that.
Well, you know, I believe every American should pay every dime of tax that they're legally required to and not one penny more. And, you know, a lot of us are probably paying at least a penny more than we need to. So let us help you out with that and many other things here at Presidential Wealth Management.
Most definitely. And Natalie will be at the switchboard at 7:30. That phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Tim Hoyles regarding this very important piece in Complete Colorado. about all of these special taxing districts. So, Jason, have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. I guess I lost him already, so we'll go to Tim, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is KimMunson.com, spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Thrilled to have on the line with me Tim Hoyles. He is a businessman in Colorado Springs, and he's written a really important piece for Complete Colorado. You can go to Complete Colorado, just click on the banner ad at the top, and it'll take you to all of the original content. And Tim Hoyles says, unchecked growth of special taxing districts needs scrutiny. So, Tim Hoyles, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Kim.
This is a very important piece, and I think a lot of people don't understand that they are paying taxes to different districts. They're called special districts. So can you explain to our listeners what these special taxing districts are?
Well, the special taxing districts fall into two categories. They're business special taxing districts and residential special taxing districts. And the ones that affect the most of our people that live in Colorado are the residential taxing districts. The issue with those is, so if you live in a special district also where your home is located, you pay a fee to the county treasurer and you think you're paying your taxes. Well, nowhere on your tax bill does it list that your residence is actually paying money to a special district, because that money goes to the county treasurer. They take a 1.5% to 2% transaction fee and send the money to the developer. Where the problem arises is when you go to do the audits and see what the developer has actually spent his money on for the infrastructure, it's very hard to get really accurate numbers. In the business taxing districts, it's a little different. You have the same type of thing, but you pay a fee to the developer as a business, say you're a McDonald's or whatever. What that does is that increases the price of your product by whatever you pay in taxes. And again, when you go to look at what the infrastructure is and look at the numbers, the audits are not worth the paper they're written on, in my opinion.
Now, many of these districts, so aren't they supposed to have like elected boards that are supposed to be a watchdog for what's happening with these special districts?
That's true, but what happens in these districts, one after another, is that the boards are members of the business that owns them. So if it's a developer, they're other people in the developer's office, or maybe his attorney, or maybe his bond person, and there's no outside independent. I call it taxation without representation to the ninth degree.
Okay, and as I look at your piece in Complete Colorado, you said there's 118 special districts of various types just in Colorado Springs.
And so there are thousands across the state.
Okay. Now, my understanding, Tim, was that initially these special districts were put in place like you might have a developer that was going to develop a piece of land. And so they put in, or they do this special taxing district so that they can tax the future development to put in like the roads and the infrastructure. That was kind of the initial thing, wasn't it, Tim?
That's the initial thing, yes, but it's gone way beyond that.
You know, and that's what's so amazing about politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, PBIs. They see something, and it was put in for a specific purpose, and then all of a sudden they figure out a way that they can use it for their purposes. And that's, I think, what you're so concerned about.
That's exactly what I'm concerned about, and thank you for bringing that up.
Okay, so we're seeing all these different districts that are being put into place, and what can we do about this? Because, as you mentioned, it's kind of like taxation without representation. I mean, and where I live, we have a metropolitan district that's supposed to, well, initially it was put in for infrastructure for, you know, the mall that was in our community. But then we also have a Parks and Rec district. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different overlapping districts that we're paying taxes to.
Well, I believe in open, accountable, and responsible government at any form. All these district R's are pseudo-government entities. The reason most of them exist, but not all of them, they have to go to a city council somewhere or a county commission and get approved. That's fine, but once they get approved, that's where the problem starts, because they have figured out how to use it for their own purposes. So I am a firm believer that we need to do some major true auditing of these special districts and look at their structure. I don't believe that a special district should only have developers, friends, family, and employees on the board. I think people in the district should be represented, but that's not what's happened in the majority of these districts. They were set up to be, take over the infrastructure when cities and counties couldn't do it. That might be great, but what they've become, I believe, can be a real long-term problem.
Okay, next question then. These are taxing districts. So how should this match up with TABOR, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights?
Well, they are taxing districts, but in true political doublespeak, they don't call them taxes. They call them fees. And, you know, the way attorneys love to do is change a word and make it okay. Taxes are taxes. Let's call, you know, a rock a rock.
Interesting. Okay, so like a PIF, which I'm familiar with, a public improvement fee, that, since it was named a fee, then that did not have to go to the voters to be approved, right?
Exactly.
Aha. Okay.
There's a whole other show on PIFs. We don't need to go there.
Okay.
But these taxing districts are not doing what they were supposed to do, because they were supposed to build the infrastructure, pay off the bonds, and go on. So what the number one important thing to find out is who owns the bond in your or any special taxing district. Because what we're finding out is sometimes the developers, shockingly, buy their own bonds.
Okay.
And
now,
then what they do is they extend the amortization schedule to put more money in their own pockets.
Okay, help me out on this. So a bond, so a special taxing district goes out and issues bonds to raise the money to put in, supposedly for infrastructure. Am I following
streets,
this correctly, Tim?
Curbs, gutters, whatever, yes.
Okay. And so they issue these bonds to do that, but then you said the developer actually buys the bond. So now explain that to our listeners.
Okay. When you get a bond, it's good for 25, 35, 40 years, whatever it is, and there's what's called an amortization schedule, which shows you what the payments will be, and it breaks it between the principal and the interest. But if you own the bonds, you can change, because you control the board, the payment rate. So let's say you're going to pay $1 million off in 25 years. Well, if you change the amortization schedule, that 25-year payment, because you're paying less on principal than interest, and it gets into a lot of accounting, but anybody can talk to their own CPA and figure this out, you then get to a point where you might be paying $1.2 million over that 25 years instead of $1 million. That $1.2 million is going into the pockets of the developers. Should have been paid off.
Okay. Okay. And how this is being paid, though, is the people now living in the district are paying taxes to...
Fees.
Fees. I forgot. That's right. Either way, it's still money out of your pocket, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay, so they're paying a fee to pay off this bond, and the developer actually may have purchased the bond, and so it seems kind of like double dipping. Am I following this correctly?
I believe you are. I mean, the developers don't like what I say, but that's nothing new for me. The challenge being that if you control the board and you can control the payments and you can change the length of the payments and the amounts of the payments
And, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention that all these bonds are double tax-free, no state and city or county tax. So if you've got an 8 to 12% bond, you're getting a lot of money that you don't have to pay any tax on. So it's a way for them to build long-term cash flow for other projects.
Okay. Now, let's this piece that you have in Complete Colorado, you said that there are three recent controversies involving some of these special districts. And you know what? I think let's do this, Tim. Let's go to break early, Steve, so that we don't so that we can stay just in the flow of this conversation. But there's three different controversies, and I'd like you to highlight these, Tim, when we come back from break, if that works for you.
Sure.
Okay, great. We'll go back. We'll continue our conversation with Colorado Springs businessman Tim Hoyles regarding these special taxing districts, and that maybe we should be watching what's going on. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Denver, and the historic 88 Drive-In Theater for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we are having a conversation with Colorado Springs businessman Tim Hoyles regarding this important piece that he had written that was published in Complete Colorado. Be sure and go to CompleteColorado.com, click on the banner ad at the top, and that will take you to all of their original content. And Tim, welcome back. This is a really important piece. You know, I think it was Maggie Thatcher said that you cannot have political freedom without economic freedom. And one of the ways that you have economic freedom is to keep politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, PBIs, in check, watching what they're doing. And this piece that you've written is about special taxing districts and saying we need to keep an eye on that. So there's three different examples that you have down in Colorado Springs regarding these special taxing districts. So, you know, walk us through the first one, please, Tim.
Well, actually, two of the three are sort of tied together.
Okay.
Because the first one, a gentleman by the name of Michael Roslin, who owns a business here in Colorado Springs, built all his own improvements on his piece of property that the special district was going to build for him. So he asked to be opted out of the special district. The city council said, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. And the reason they do that is because the bonds are formulated on the number of properties in the district. So when he got out, wanted out, you know, it changed the amount of bond the developer could get. The problem with that is the developer didn't like that. Well, if you built your own improvements and then you're going to get charged again for them, you're getting paid, you're having to pay double. That was sort of connected to the next one, which is Shields, which is a huge retailer that was coming into a shopping area in North Colorado Springs, and the city council was thinking about letting the Shields store out of the district, literally within a day or two of telling somebody they couldn't get out of a district. And that presentation was withdrawn by the developer when a couple of the businesses in that district said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You're going to let them out of this district. By the way, you have $4 million in cash sitting in the bank. What are you going to do with that? And they shot thought their rate of fee should be reduced, and that $4 million gone to paying off the bonds. The resolution on that has not been finalized yet. The last one is a different type of special district that involves a district with drawn boundaries that is having problems paying for the services that they were supposed to pay for. They now have a bunch of extra people living around that boundary, and they want to force them into that district so they can get more money to pay the bond. I mean, here we go again, taxation without representation.
Wow. So let's go back to a couple of things here, first of all. So you have a businessman, this Michael Roslin, who he has his business, and he put in the infrastructure around his business, correct? He paid for it himself.
Correct, correct, everything. And, you know, the planters and the sidewalks and all this stuff. And so he said, hey, I don't need this special district. But he'd signed a piece of paper saying, yeah, he'd go ahead and be in it. But he said, oh, I'll just opt out.
Okay.
Couldn't opt out.
So he had signed something that said he would be in the district.
Yep.
Okay. And then as he learned more about it, he's like, well, wait a minute. Why should I have paid to make all this happen and then pay again for it to happen for everybody else? Am I following that correctly?
Well, I mean, he's basically getting charged again for what he would have already had to put on his property, which he already did.
Okay. And he says that he thinks he was lured into signing that piece of paper under false pretenses. Is that correct?
I can't answer that question because that's really a legal question.
Ah, okay. Very good. So now, though, the city council is saying that he can't get out of that because it would affect the bonding ability affect the bonds that the developer wants to issue to go out and create this special improvement district, right?
That's correct. See, these bonds were put in place based upon the number of square foot in the district and other business things in the district, et cetera. So the day before the bonds are going to be issued is when this hearing was, and everybody, well, not everybody, but some people on city council said, you can't get out. I think that was a very poor decision. But conversely, then 2 days later or a week later in this city council member, they were going to consider letting a major, you know, I think it's a 50,000, 60,000 square foot building retailer get out of a district. Well, once again, here's the difference. The district, the developer, was making the second presentation to the city council. If you go look at all the fees that have been paid to elected official for fundraising, you're going to find a lot of developers have put a lot of money into political campaigns.
Okay. Now, is this the same special improvement district, or are these two different? I mean, it doesn't really matter.
It's two just different ones.
Two different ones.
One's in South Colorado Springs and one's in North.
Okay. Another thing, though, about this Shields store is we were doing research on this, that they were getting an incentive package. So that meant that, I don't know exactly what it was exactly, but many times it may be that they may be receiving some of the sales tax back to the, and again, I don't know if this is what happened, but many times that happens.
That is true, but the biggest problem I have with the city of Colorado Springs and probably the county, I'm not as familiar with the county yet, they write what I call one-way contracts. So if we have a new developer coming in, they say, oh yeah, we're going to give you the kitchen sink. My challenge is this, let's write a two-way contract, which says, if you achieve certain goals, then you get a tax break. People up by your area have done that with the Shields store, and the Shields store didn't have to pay tax the first year, but they didn't meet the goal for the following 2 or 3 years. So they didn't get the break. And I think this is what governments need to start doing. Instead of just willy-nilly giving everything to these new businesses so we have more retail business and more development and more people and all this stuff, let's say, two-way contracts. Let's benefit both of us.
You know, and actually, Tim, I'm going to push back a little bit on that. I really, because I was on city council, and it seems to me that in economic development, how about if we lower taxes and rules and regulations across the spectrum so that government is not picking winners and losers? I actually think we shouldn't have any.
I totally agree with that in a perfect world, but I think we've gone way past that, unfortunately.
You don't think there's a way to get the horse back in the barn, huh?
I'm not sure there is anymore because everything, you know, we have to have government do this, this, and this. I believe totally in limited government, but we also have to be practical.
Okay.
I guess you have to fight two fronts at once.
Okay. Okay. Lastly, let's talk about this last one, though. There is a special improvement district that was put into it's in the city of Colorado Springs back in the 80s, and it was to fund the watering and maintenance of parks and common areas within its boundaries. And instead of raising the district assessment rates on themselves, the residents are now looking to try to bring other people into the district to try to pay for what they want.
It's the will of the majority. The district was defined, you know, so now you want to go change boundaries. And unfortunately, there are more people in the district than outside the district. So a majority rule is going to say to these people, oh, by the way, now you're in a special district. You've got to help us. Well, you know, this is the problem with the special districts. We haven't let them mature enough to know if they're going to pay themselves off. And when we look at a 25 to 35-year bond and we look at a ton of special districts, because in Colorado Springs we didn't put a lot of them in until 2006. The early ones were all for water and police and trash and things like that. But the ones that started in 2006, 30 years, 25 years, let's start letting mature and see what happens instead of just putting more and more in, because if they don't pay themselves off, it's a sham.
Okay. Next thing I wanted to mention is you're now seeing down at the legislature, they're talking about creating the ability to have special taxing districts for early childhood development. What do you think about that, Tim Hoyles?
I don't like special taxing districts unless they're run like they're supposed to be run. So my concern is if most of these districts are outside of good business practices that benefit not only the community and the developer, but the community doubly, then we got a problem. And to do it again without knowing what the long term, I'm totally against it.
Okay. I am too on that as well. Let's see, there was one other question that I had on this, and all of a sudden it escaped me. I know what it was. I had actually been talking to a friend of mine who is a developer, and we were talking about TIFs, these tax increment financing districts. And I need to confirm this, but he said that in issuing bonds, and I take him at his word, he said that typically the underwriters and the attorneys and the accountants, when they're putting these bond packages together, that it can be as much as 30% to 40% of the total bond, the bond amount that's raised. Are you familiar with that at all, Tim?
We have not put a percentage on that yet, but the challenge is this. If it's such a high percentage, why are they still doing it? Because it makes financial sense. You know, I chaired an audit committee on a major company that my family owned that had a tremendous value. And the problem with audits and all these people, oh, well, we can't do that. Look at how much it's costing. Does the overall financial model work? If it didn't work, they wouldn't be doing it. So it's an excuse to say, but look at all that we spend here. That's why the accountants and the bond people love the developers, because they're making a lot of money too.
Right. And that was my point, is there is a significant amount of money to be made on this. And ultimately, I think we need to make it clear that it's the everyday hardworking Coloradan that is having to pay this off, and it is a fee that is on their tax bill, right?
And they don't know it all the time.
Now, some of these, we have just a few minutes left. Some of these special districts do have boards. And I know that some of them, well, I guess they all have boards, but some of them actually do have representation that is elected by the people of the community. But it's another meeting that people would need to go to try to watch what's going on, to try to keep government transparent. And you get, you said there's over 2,000 special districts in Colorado. The average person doesn't have time to watch what's going on with all these special districts.
Well, that is true, but the challenge there is if you don't have time to watch out what's happening to your own money, This is part of your own money. You unfortunately have to make extra time now.
Okay. So what should people do, Tim, after looking at this important piece in Complete Colorado? What do you recommend that everyday hardworking people do?
Find out if you're in a special district. Find out who runs the special district. Ask for notification of the meetings. And we're trying to come up with a special district packet to give people. We hope to have that done by the first of the year.
Okay. And how can people find out if they're in a special district? Do they need to call their county clerk and recorder or something?
That's a start. Okay. That's a start, yes.
Okay. And when you have this special district packet ready, how can people get more information? Is there the infrastructure put in place on that yet, or will that be after the first of the year?
That will be after the first of the year, and I will send you an email site that will be up and running in the middle of January.
Okay.
And we will get this going, because, I mean, we've just started to study this basically in the last 8 months, and I've got a couple of associates. I've got a little thing down here called Fourth Estate News Bureau, and that's what we're doing it with.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, Tim Hoyles, thank you so much for this very important information. We do need to keep an eye on it. I do submit to you that I think that PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties have figured out how they can make these things work for them and make us everyday hardworking Coloradans pay for it. And so keeping an eye on it is really, really important. So Tim Hoyles, thank you so much.
Thank you again, and thank you for being so prepared. I appreciate it.
Okay, most definitely. And I can't believe the show is just about over. So our quote for today is, again, Chester Nimitz. He was the commander of the land and sea forces in the Central Pacific in World War II. He says, luck can be attributed to a well-conceived plan carried out by well-trained and indoctrinated task group. And so today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free. I was born free. I was born free. The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.